Anime, where we air new episodes every other week. Kaiseki covers currently airing anime, older series seen recently, and other relevant topics for the season. I'm your host, Marina, of the blog Anime B&B, and with me is my co-host, Draggle, of the cleverly titled Draggle's Anime Blog.
This week, we discuss the summer 2026 anime season. As has been the trend, so many shows this season.
Way too many shows.
A lot of good ones, but a lot of terrible ones too. So let's zoom through the terrible ones so we can get to the good stuff. First is Bane Dream, Yume Mita. This is in the Bane Dream sequel. We recently had the excellent Maigo and the other one. This one does not look like those ones. I thought it was kind of boring. And the CG is awful.
Yeah.
Next.
Chainsmoker Cat is about this absolutely feral, disgusting cat who has a chain smoking problem and is incompetent, and we're supposed to find it funny.
Yeah, you told me this was the worst anime you ever watched or something, and it was worse than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's really bad. I hate everything about it, and it made me gag.
I couldn't get past the part where she had diarrhea.
Yeah. Let's not talk about it anymore. The next one is Dara-san of the Reiwa era, which I wanted to like this because I like yokai, but I just couldn't get past. Like, I don't really have a problem with nudity or anything like that. I just felt like the overall display of the characters here were just boring, despite them trying to like shock us visually, I think.
Yeah, and I knew I wouldn't care about it, and I didn't. Next is Frontier Lord Begins with Zero Subjects. I actually quite like this manga, but anime was a bit boring, and there's so much to watch this season. I'm trying to drop things preemptively, so I succeeded.
Good job. Next is Hanaori-san, still wants to fight in the next life. I already knew that I was going to be on the fence with this because it's an isekai, but it's the premise where they know each other from their previous fantastical life where they were enemies in the world that is more like ours now. And I just thought it was boring.
You know, I don't even remember this one. That's how boring it was.
Yeah, no, I just was like, the premise was tired. I've seen it before and they did nothing to make it interesting.
Next was Heroin Saint. No, I mean, all works made and proud of it. Yeah, I just don't give a shit. They had like some dancing ending though. It was kind of cute.
Not the dancing ending. That's what's going to get us to stay. I Want to Love You Till Your Dying Day is all about young girls who are basically tools of war with their little magical powers, and it's all about suffering, but there's also Yuri in this, and yeah, I'm not into it.
Yeah, it seems like on paper something that I should like, but I did not like it at all.
It looks nice.
It does look nice.
But that's it.
I was just exhausted.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, Insipid Princess Furtive Grab for the Throne. It's not even worth mentioning. Iron Walk Jan. This was like a cooking thing with Chinese cooking. Just everyone is such an asshole that it's hard to get past that. Mevius Dust. This is little kids with magic powers play capture the flag. I just couldn't care.
That sounds interesting, but yeah.
Yeah. It looked kind of cool visually, but it's just too childish.
Okay.
My stepmother and stepsisters aren't wicked. It was exactly what it sounds like. I don't want to watch a show about this girl being happy with her stepmother and stepsisters. Can't think of much more boring than that.
Yeah.
I need suffering.
But not too much like angsty suffering, right? Like, I mean, well, no, you like angst, but not the type of suffering where that's all the show is, right?
I guess I just don't like the, if it's too predictable suffering or too cliche. Yeah. Next is The Obvious Saint Can't Contain Her Power.
Oblivious Saint.
Oh, sorry. Oblivious Saint. Yeah, I was so bored on this one. Oh boy, was I wrong about her. This was some childhood friend nonsense. So nope.
What a stupid title.
Yep, exactly. I think it's supposed to be a pun, but it's such a horrible pun. Because he like thinks his childhood friend is a boy, but she's actually a girl.
Oh, okay. All right, that's a little bit more clever, but also like that's going to
Really? Okay. I think it's worse once you understand what they're supposed what they're going for and how, see how badly they failed.
Yeah.
Next is Villager of level 999. I actually kind of like this show until at the very end, the 10-year-old girl proposed marriage to him. And I'm like, nope.
Excuse me, what?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
I did not think he would be hooking up with the little girl. She's probably not actually 10, but she looks like she's 10.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of our dropped shows. Thank goodness. Let's never talk about them again.
Yes.
And now we're on to our sequels. So these are all shows that these are either the second or further along season. So we are pretty familiar with their original seasons already. And I'm sticking with them. Starting with Clevetus Season 2. And this is the season of Magical School.
Yeah, I love Clevetus so much. I'm so glad you stopped me from dropping it when the first season came.
Because even this magical school trope, which can be tired in other shows, I actually find it quite entertaining here.
It's so entertaining. Yeah.
It's just absurd, the idea of like all of these, I don't know, they're like gods, right? But like in the bodies of these avatars of theirs, and they're just totally being normal.
Yeah, I think this is the show I look forward to the most each week.
Nice. The next is Elusive Samurai Season 2. Are you watching this?
I am, but I think I'm going to drop it. I just don't care that much.
I don't blame you. There was a certain momentum from the first season that we haven't gotten in the second season. Like, he's still on his journey, right? He still confronts people who could very well kill him. But there just isn't that, I don't know, just like the energy that I got in the first season, which I'm still waiting to arrive in the second one.
Yeah.
The next one I think is also just me. Actually, I think the next couple are just me.
Yes.
Hanakimi Season 2, more of the same from the first season. I'm a fan of the live action and the manga. And while I was very cool on the first season because it like showed aspects of the character that I had forgotten, I guess, or maybe it wasn't as clearly creepy in the live action, but is in the anime. It's gotten a lot better. The second season is a definite improvement. I actually like it a lot more than the first season, so I'm sticking with it.
Cool.
And the next one is Magical Girl Lyrical Nanoha Exceeds Gunblaze Vengeance. Did you get that all?
Yeah, except I don't think you pronounced exceeds with enough enthusiasm.
Exceeds! All caps. Yeah, I have always been a fan of the Lyrical Nanoha franchise. I've liked them since, I don't even know how long ago they started this Magical Girl show. But this is like, you know, several iterations later, they've had many seasons. And this is set in a new world with some new main characters, Nanoha and like Yagami Light. Like they're in Fate Testarossa. They're there, but they're more like side characters. And the focus is more on this new world that has like these mutated alien species, and yeah. I'm having fun with it.
I'm not sure this counts as a sequel. I feel like it's more a spinoff or something.
Yeah, maybe you're right. It is more of a spinoff. Like, I don't feel like you need to have seen the original shows, but I do think like it'll make a lot more sense to like why these other characters are there.
Yeah.
You know? And I think like one of the criticisms that people have about it is they're like, well, why are they there? Like, they feel like this show could just be still the same spirit to it, still the same story to it, even without the characters that we know from.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. They had like this super dramatic, like double length first episode.
Yeah.
And then at the end, just randomly Nanoha shows up.
Like, Nanoha like pops in and saves the day for like that one fight. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess this is a Nanoha show. But it isn't really. So that's weird.
I really liked the spinoff where they punch each other. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I forget the name. It's like, it's escaping me now, but I do know. It's like a boxing tournament kind of thing.
Yeah. But
yeah, I liked that one too.
This one is just like too much suffering, but cliche suffering kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. I'm not sure if I'll stick with it yet, but so far I have.
Cool. The next one we're both watching, Ushoku Tensei 3.
Yes.
I only watched the first episode, but it's good. I missed Eris. She's such an asshole.
I don't blame you.
I love her.
Yes, and I don't blame you for holding off. I think this is going to be a show you'll probably binge because it's just so satisfying to see Eris again.
Yes. And then next is one I wasn't expecting. Saga of Tanya the Evil Season 2. I feel like it's been like
years.
Yeah. It must have been before COVID, this one. But yeah, this one is weird because it's like usually you want the main character to win. This one I was like, oh, I hope these bad guys kill this fucking Nazi. And I'm always disappointed, but
yeah, you're right. This was originally in 2017, Draggle. So
holy crap, almost
10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I was also surprised, but it was just, it felt like meeting an old friend, even though it's like a terrible person. You know, when you see Tanya again on the screen, I'm like, ah, Tanya, I'm so happy to see you again.
Yeah.
Even though you're batshit crazy.
I'm like, oh, Tanya, I hope you die.
No. I actually don't hope that, but, well, you know, maybe she'd be happy if she died, actually.
She probably would be, yeah. That's true. Maybe I should hope she lives longer so she can suffer more.
So she can suffer more. You're like God in this show, Draggle.
I sympathize with God in this show, yeah.
What? No. I do think God's an asshole and I'm on Tanya's side here.
Is being an asshole to an asshole a bad thing?
He's torturing. Like, what reason does he have to keep torturing her? Like, just let her go. You should have just not even reincarnated her. Just let her die.
She's a fucking Nazi.
She wasn't in her previous life. Like, what was the point?
She would have been if she could have been, had the opportunity.
No, he was petty as hell to make her come back to life in this war zone.
I guess so.
And it makes me laugh so hard when she does these prayers to him to get her power. Serves him right, that it's a prayer to God that creates all this devastation.
Yes.
Anyways, next on this is You and I Are Polar Opposites Season 2. And I am so happy we're back here because I love this show.
Yep, it continues to be very cute. And I definitely don't hope they die.
Definitely not. And I'm looking forward to more development with the other, like the side characters, the side pairings. I'm really happy to see more of them.
Yeah. Okay, and that's the sequels. Next is the maybe shows, which we're, at least one of us is watching for now, but we're still hesitant.
Starting with Black Torch, which I have a guess that you're not watching this.
Yeah, I dropped this.
Yeah, I knew you would because it's heavy on like the battle, right?
Yeah.
And like shonen battle. But like I thought the whole aspect of there being these, what are they called? Like spirits or Mononoke. Mm-hmm. And in this war with humans and how like our main character ends up with a pact with one of the powerful ones. We've seen this before, sure. Like I'm thinking, what, Jujutsu Kaisen or something? But,
yep.
You know, this is like a cat. it's a Mononoke in the body of a cat. And I don't know. I thought it was like showy and fun. And it's on maybe because like, you know, I said that we've seen this before, and so it will need to do a lot more to hold me to make it stand out.
Yeah, hopefully it'll turn out well.
Yeah, we'll see. And I'm assuming this next one, the Duke's son claims he won't love me, yet showers me with adoration, is also just me.
Yeah, I was kind of interested in this, but yeah, I'm trying to watch as few shows as possible.
Mm-hmm. And I don't blame you. This is a, I don't know, it feels like it comes from like a dating sim or something. Mm-hmm. But and it's a shoujo where it's a girl who gets the attention of this prince, no, the duke's son, and is basically married. It's a marriage of convenience so that he can have a wife to put off like, I don't know, speculation or being pushed off to others around him. But he ends up liking her more than he thought. Even though he told her that he would never love her, he's like increasingly interested and concerned about her because she's like the sweetest person ever, which is boring. Yes. But it is kind of funny seeing him go back on his word.
Yeah. It's not as one person's an asshole. It's entertaining.
Yeah. But it is predictable. I'm not sure it'll hold my interest. We'll see.
Cool.
The next one is The Forsaken Saintess and Her Foodie Road Trip in Another World. Again, one that I think is just me.
I did not like this one at all. No.
No. Yeah. Well, because you don't like motorhomes, do you?
No, I'm anti-motorhome.
Yeah. As soon as I saw that, I was like, ah, like this is already going to be like not Draggle's thing because it's focused on, I don't know. You like isekai, but I don't. There was something about like the camping with a camper that I felt like was going to immediately turn you off.
Yeah, I was immediately turned off. And also, It was so ugly.
Is it?
I thought so, yeah.
Eh. I think the motorhome is just very lazy. It looks like
Not the motorhome, just like the animation.
The show. I mean, it's serviceable. Is it great? No. Is it special? No. Are the character designs unique? No. I just thought it was funny that, like, she has this motorhome, and of course they've never seen anything like it. They're just like, what is that? And the motorhome, like I was trying to say earlier, it looks almost like someone's idea of a motorhome. It's like an AI's version of a motorhome. It's completely bland.
Oh, gosh.
But it's entertaining me for now.
Okay.
And it's basically what I throw in the background when I'm cooking or, you know, doing chores.
Okay, cool. Next one is From Overshadowed to Overpowered, Second Reincarnation of a Talentless Sage. And it sounds like the most generic name ever, but I actually quite liked the first episode. The first episode was like he couldn't live up to his dreams and he died having failed. But then he got reincarnated. And then once he got reincarnated, it was a lot less interesting because now he's overpowered. So we'll see if I stick with this. But it was a good first episode.
What's with these overpowered reincarnations? It's always more fun when they're completely weak so we can see them build.
Yeah, exactly.
So this next one, I Became a Legend After My 10-Year-Long Last Stand. Are you watching this?
No, I dropped this one. Although if you like it a lot, maybe I'll try again.
Well, it's on maybe. So you can see that I'm lukewarm on it. I'm watching this one with Kewu, which is why we're still watching it. But as the season progresses, we'll see what actually comes up as the priority of what we want to watch. Like, there are definitely other shows this season that we pick first. So this one might fall to the wayside. But it's basically like this guy who he was an S-rank mage in this hero's party and they defeat Demon King. But then it turns out that he can revive. So he like basically sends his friends away and seals himself away in the demon realm to continue the fight. And because he gets like this really special skill with how much fighting he's been doing, he's able to basically be immortal as he's killing them. And it makes him like younger and younger. And he's able to finally defeat the Demon King. But when he pops out, he looks like a kid. And so like no one recognizes him. But because of his sacrifice and his party's love for him, they basically made him out to be like this legendary hero. So like everyone knows his name. Which is kind of funny because he's like, why does the statue have my name? And it looks ridiculous and nothing like me. And they're like, well, you know, the people needed a hero, right? And, you know, they don't believe you that you're the dude because you look way different. You're younger now. And so he gets to start over as an F rank adventurer, not a mage, but I think more of like a fighter type. Mm-hmm. But he's still pretty strong because even if you're like S rank, like there's a little bit of holdover there. So it's cute.
Yeah, I also liked the first episode, but then I was like, I know this is going to be like every isekai.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't really bring much besides that premise that is like that it's there in the first episode. So it's you got it. You got the surprise. Everything else we've seen before.
Yeah. Yeah, so many isekais are like that. It's so many anime in general. Like, honestly, first episode is the best part and it's they hook you and then it's downhill.
Yeah, it's like the syndrome of, you know, I think about this as writing because I like to write, right? You have like these longer works like novels and then you have things that are shorter like flash fictions, even micro fictions, which I feel like something of this lack of originality, like you have a cool idea.
Right.
But like if the idea isn't big enough to carry through multiple episodes, really it should just be like a movie or even a short, you know?
Yeah.
Because you have OVAs that are memorable, that are fun. And they don't try to overextend themselves. And I feel like so many of these should be doing that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Next is Kaiju Girl Caramelize. This is where there's this girl who's actually a kaiju. And whenever someone makes her heart skip a beat, her body turns into kaiju parts.
What?
Wait, you didn't watch this one?
Sounds kind of fun. No, this kind of sounds fun.
Yeah. It is kind of fun. I actually really like the manga, but I'm not sure I'll finish this to the end because it's like a cool premise, but like we were just talking about, I don't know if it can carry a full anime.
Yeah, I saw the promo art and I was like, oh, it's so cute. But then I was like, oh, but it looks very cutesy and young. Like I just felt like it was maybe too juvenile and I would lose interest in it.
Yeah, I think they're in, I forget, middle school or high school. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's a middle school or high school love story kind of thing. So
okay, yeah, and I feel like I'm too old now for that, which is funny because we're watching, you and I are polar opposites, but I feel like that one has so much more material to work with.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So this next one I think you told me about is A Livid Lady's Guide to Getting Even, How I Crushed My Homeland with My Mighty Grimoires.
Yeah, I really liked the first episode to this. I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, good to start them. But then after that, it slowed down a lot and I kind of got bored.
I was curious because I remember you alluding to the show when we were doing the spring review and talking about another show that I already forgot. But I watched it and I was like, oh, this is somewhat familiar. This must have been what he was talking about. And I did have fun with it. I'm still enjoying it, but I agree with you that it had like this sort of more energetic start to it where you were definitely on her side and enjoying seeing her being like, F you to her former kingdom. But now it's gone slow because it's going through the process of her starting up her, what is it, beauty product company.
Yeah.
And somehow that's going to be the stepping stone to her vengeance.
Yeah, like, come on. I don't care about your stupid beauty company.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where she's coming from, but it's too slow.
Yes. Oh, well.
Next one I'm pretty sure is just me.
Definitely this one is just you, yeah.
The Ogre's Bride. Now, I think I read the manga for this, which is why I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll give it a try. And it definitely has like that fluffy shoujo look I like. And it's an interesting world where the Ayakashi are known in the world and they actually head these powerful families and they have tiers of a hierarchical tier, and the ogres are at the top, and you have like the kitsune foxes who are a little bit lower than that, and so on. And basically, it is like the highest, most prestigious thing if you are chosen to be the bride of an Ayakashi. And it makes me wonder, I was like, well, what about if it's like can you have same sex ones? Can you have like, they talk about brides, but are there grooms? You know, like what's the reverse? Anyways, it's very heterosexual, and it's very like, the girl is a victim. She's victimized, basically like tossed aside by her family because her sister, who is quote unquote prettier, and was already very quickly chosen by a fox Ayakashi. And so like her parents are terrible. Her sister is spoiled and they like put all the focus on the other sister. And she's just basically like there. She's treated kind of like Cinderella. And then of course, like Cinderella, she is found by this ogre who is the heir to the most powerful family, and he chooses her. So it's basically Cinderella, and it's very predictable. She is a blank slate and very boring, but I'm watching it.
Yeah, I was bored.
I don't blame you. And it's like the villainy is comical. How much like her parents don't care about her, it just begs disbelief. This next one, actually, I don't even know. Are you watching the next three?
No, I dropped all of them.
Okay.
I'm doing my best to drop things.
Good. I mean, you had plenty that you're watching that I'm not, so.
Yeah.
This one is recommendations from Iwamoto Senpai, which takes place back in like the early 1900s, 1910. And it's funny because like when you look at this, if you look at the character art, they look like adults. Okay. They look like at least in their 20s or maybe like you could maybe say that he's like 19. But in reality, you find out they're like middle school or high school, like really young, which is hilarious.
Wait, really? Anime.
Yeah, they're like, really
even
young.
The guy with the sword?
He's, I think, he might be, is he in high school?
Okay, that's crazy.
It says he's a third year student at Seiho Junior High School.
Oh my God.
BS, right? Like, no way.
Yeah, why are these people in the army?
Because they have powers and the military is gathering people with powers. Not sus at all. Like originally they're not using them for anything combat wise. They're just sort of gathering them, which you know is not good. But they kind of like push that aside at the start because they're trying to focus more on like, this is very yokai heavy. And Iwamoto Senpai is this guy who's going around to these mysterious story cases that he's been hearing to like get to the bottom of it because he knows typically it's a person with powers and he's there to get them and recruit them. And every episode is focusing on like a different case. And he encourages them to come to his school. But like in the background are these discussions about, oh, well, this is a military school and like you guys are powered students. And like, yes, we're not making you fight right now. But like everyone else here who is here at military school will eventually be going to battle. So don't be surprised if, you know, these kids end up having to also fight. And I was sticking with it because of like the whole power. You know, I like yokai, like that kind of supernatural element, but it gives me like a leery feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why I'm still watching it.
Drop it.
They're pretty boys. And let me emphasize boys, like we said, because they're so young.
Yeah.
The next one, Red River, makes me want to cry.
I actually liked this first episode, even though I dropped it.
You liked it?
Yeah, I thought it was different. It brings me back to the mind of the 90s shoujo.
Exactly. I think that is, like, there's a lot of nostalgia going on here because I read the manga.
Oh, okay.
The manga's finished. I don't remember. I think I finished it, but it's been so long since I've read it. But it's old, all right? So, like, when I saw that they were adapting it, I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, that's awesome that they're going and, like, bringing this out and making it an anime. And then I watched it, and I'm like, dude, why did they have to make it look as old as it is? Like,
that's kind of what I liked about it.
It would be one thing, I guess, if they, I don't know if I, again, I must have forgotten a lot, because not only is it ugly, because and it has like that retro feel, the retro feel wouldn't bother me so much if it wasn't just ugly, but like her character is obnoxious. Actually, all the characters are obnoxious, and I'm like, yeah. How did I like this?
It's so 90s. Yeah.
It's so 90s. So many like questionable things. Like the guy is like a lech, but it's okay because he's a prince and he's interested in her. So she should like him.
Yeah.
She's like a doormat. You know, she like lets everyone walk over her and is whiny and annoying. And she makes these stupid decisions that gets this poor kid murdered. And oh, guess what? Even though she doesn't have any experience really with horses, she's able to ride bareback on a horse that has never been broken before, because apparently in this era, which is supposed to be during the Hittite era of like 14th century BCE, no one rides horses, but somehow she is able to. Like they're only supposed to be pulling chariots, but mid battle, the girl jumps on a horse. Horse freaks out and is a runaway horse, and she's able to hold on. And not just hold on, she's able to steer it towards some girl that needs to be saved, and she saves the girl. Like, come on.
I don't think I got to that part.
It's like the fourth episode or something. I don't remember. It's further along. It's so bad, but I'm in it.
Okay.
I'm in it just because it's like, how much worse can it be? Oh God, it is worse. And it's just a roller coaster. It's kind of like what you,
yeah,
when you watch bad shit, yeah, right?
So you're like hoping for it to get worse because that'll be more entertaining.
More like I'm hoping for like a glimmer of what I liked about it. I'm like, why?
Okay.
It makes me sad.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be sorry. And the last one of this maybe is Victoria of Many Faces. This one's kind of cool because it's about this woman who has been trained as a spy from like childhood. And she ends up, we don't know what the details of the betrayal are, but she ends up leaving her former kingdom behind and starting over in a new land using a lot of her skills that she gained as a spy. So she creates a new identity. She like is able to start up her own business and network with people that help her out that way. But it's also a little bit of a love story. She ends up adopting a girl who she feels sorry for. And you know that there's going to eventually become a reckoning when the people she left behind probably find her and confront the people who she is now friends with, cares about, and who don't know who she is. Mm-hmm. So I like that, and I'm sticking with it. It's only 9 episodes, so it doesn't feel like, not that much of a commitment.
Okay.
But it's on the maybe just because, like, there's nothing special visually about it, and the storytelling is just average. It's just more of the interesting concept of, you know, what's going to happen when they find out.
Yeah, that's why I dropped it. I was just kind of bored.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But it did have interesting ideas, like the spy stuff.
And I like the little girl who she ends up adopting, who I feel like is a decent display of childhood. You know, sometimes like kids in anime are terrible.
Right.
They act too old or they're just really annoying. And I'm fine with this little girl.
Okay. Good. Well, that's all for maybe. Now we're on to the good shows. So first is The Cat and the Dragon. I was surprised that I enjoyed this as much as I did.
I'm curious, because I'm not watching this, so tell me.
You're not watching this? Oh, you would love this show.
Really?
I think so. Yeah, it's about like cute animals.
Mm-hmm.
So the dragon, he's like abandoned as a baby, or his mom dies or something, I forget. And then he gets adopted by a cat. But it's like a magical cat, Kate Sith or whatever they're called. So then he grows up with the other kittens and thinks he's a cat. Then his mother gets like summoned as a familiar to magical school. And then she like takes care of the children at magical school and mothers the human children. And then the dragon gets mad when some hunters attack some animals in his forest. So then he like goes and attacks the human's castle, and then they apologize to him. Now he's training the prince to use magic, and that's as far as I got.
So you think I should try this?
I think you would like this, yeah.
Okay. I will, as soon as we're done here, I'll go check it out.
Sweet. Next is Draw This, Then Die. This is like a little girl loves manga, and then she sneaks away from home to go to Kamiket and discovers that her teacher, who always tries to stop her from reading manga, is a mangaka. And then they're starting a manga club.
Not just any mangaka. The mangaka of her favorite manga of all time.
Yes, exactly.
Which is like such a charmingly unassuming manga to have as a favorite. It's about like a robot tanuki, right? Or something.
Something like that, yeah.
It's actually quite cute.
Yeah, and we see the robot tanuki. That's like her imaginary friend who goes around with her. So it's a really cute show, and I quite like it so far.
I do. I really like it because it does balance, because you have the teacher there, who is a funny character, by the way.
Yeah.
Not that she's trying to be funny. Not at all. She's very serious. She's like the side of practicality. She's arguing, you know, be realistic, right? And then you have the opposite side. You have all these kids and also that bookstore owner who cracks me up.
Yeah.
Who is on the side of like, well, you need to have your dreams, right? The dreams are what set you forward. They could be as unrealistic as you want them to be, but they are important to pursue and to, you know, see where they'll go. Because it will, whether or not you fail, like you will learn something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, and it's just these kids form a manga club and are trying to make their own manga, and it's really terrible, but really cute.
Yeah, I just watched the episode where they show the teacher the manga, and it was pretty funny.
Right? And she's like, oh, wow, this is bad. But also, I can see your heart.
Yeah. So looking forward to this show. The next is probably only me. I'm kind of ashamed I enjoyed this one, honestly.
Really?
The Exiled Heavy Knight Knows How to Game the System. This is by our friends at Gohans. The ones who made, like, K and all those, like, really ugly, shiny colors shows.
Okay.
But it's an isekai this time.
But why are you embarrassed that you liked? I haven't seen this, so I'm wondering why it's
It combines, bad. Like, two embarrassing things, isekai and Gohans.
Oh, okay.
But I quite like their style with this show. And I really like the villain. She's, like, the main guy's cousin who supplants her, and she just looks like really evil and makes evil faces at him.
So you say this is an isekai, and then given the name, like, is he in some sort of gaming world, or?
He used to play the game, and in the game, he was the strongest character, the Heavy Knight.
Oh, okay.
But this is the plot I'm remembering now.
You don't even know the plot. Okay.
I was more excited by the evil girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah. He gets reincarnated and, like, they find out what his class is. And he's the Heavy Knight, which is the best class from the game. So he's all excited. But in the real world he got reincarnated to, they all think that Heavy Knight is the worst class. So his father disowns him and kicks him out of the house and says to never mention that they have the same last name again. And then the evil girl gets the fake class they think is the best class, and then she like laughs at him and gives him these evil looks as he leaves the house crying.
And you like it because you like her.
I like her, yeah. You understand me. So
yes,
I don't think you would like this one, but
I don't think so either.
The Cat and the Dragon, you would like the, yeah.
Yep, yep. I am curious though, based on that. Okay, are you watching The Ghost in the Shell?
I only watched the first episode, but yeah, I'm planning to watch it.
I am also planning to watch it. I have not seen beyond the first episode because I hate to admit this, but I'm actually like, I thought it was good, okay? But I actually was kind of confused through a lot of it about what was happening and who was who and all this stuff. Because like, I know about Ghost in the Shell, but I've never seen, really sat down and watched like the original anime. Because this is sort of a adaptation, right? Or it's like a remake. I don't know what it is. Something like that.
You know, I watched the original. I liked it. I didn't like it to the level a lot of people seem to.
Yeah. I know it's a classic and it's very beloved, right?
Yeah. I don't remember enough details about this to even tell you whether it's a remake or a sequel or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it didn't seem like you needed to know much about the original to follow it.
No, I think you just need a little bit of a basic understanding of sci-fi elements or lingo or something, because they make a lot of like assuming, they just assume that you understand what things are.
I think they're like accepting that you'll have some mystery and then you'll figure things out.
And that you need to be okay with it, and they're not like going to dumb it down for you, right? I do like that about it.
From what I recall, the original was kind of like that too.
Okay. Yeah, I can respect that. It's just I haven't been in the right frame of mind, because I feel like I have to be in the mood to watch this, and I haven't been yet, because I feel like it's one of those shows you have to pay attention mm-hmm. or you will miss shit really easily.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I miss shit and I was paying attention, but.
mm-hmm. But I think it looks good.
It looks amazing. What are you talking about? It's by.
I said good.
Good.
It's not good enough. Like good I is have not to say good enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And yes. I actually like the looks a lot more than the original. From what I recall, the original, it's like very like grim, dark kind of thing.
That was like part of it, right? The cyberpunk kind of like gritty feel.
This one, I think, is still cyberpunk, but it's bright and colorful sometimes too.
A little softer, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. For some reason, I didn't think you were going to watch it. I don't know why.
Yeah. Why? I usually like robots. Sci-fi stuff, robots. Yeah.
I don't know.
I didn't think I was going to watch the next one, Grow Up Show. About the
Are
circus.
You watching Grow Up Show?
Yeah, it's too good to not
watch. Yes! I'm so happy because I love this show. It is so much better than I expected, because I also thought I would drop it.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is a story about cute girls doing cute things.
Exactly.
We sometimes hate that, right?
And the main character looks like she's 10.
I mean, she is young, I think it's her personality that...
Yeah.
Kind of keeps me
she's
because she's
such
hilarious.
An asshole. I love her.
She's such a brat. She's like that sullen teenager, right? Who doesn't want to do anything.
Unless she gets paid.
Unless she gets paid, which I mean, you can understand that, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I do
nothing
my job.
Is free. But like the whole concept of like this like cutie girl troupe that has their own circus and they compete against like other circus troops. And they're all named after like flowers, right?
Right, right.
It's actually quite cute, and I really like the acrobatic side of it, and it helps that I like circuses. Like, I kept thinking about Cirque du Soleil while I was watching this.
Hmm. It's a good show.
I'm surprised you're watching it.
I know. I watched it, and I was like, oh, I don't want to watch this. I hope it's not good, and I can drop it. But then it was good, and I wanted to watch it, so.
Yay! All right, well... I'm on the fence about whether or not you're watching this next one, which is Love Unseen Beneath the Clear Night Sky.
Yeah, I am totally watching this one. I really like it.
I wasn't sure because I thought that you would find it too sweet.
I like how it's sweet, but how it's also very awkward, and it just embraces the awkwardness.
I feel like that's why I like it, because it feels more real.
Exactly.
Right? Because this is a love story. Well, not it's like trying to be a love story, right? Between these two characters and the girl, given with the title, she's blind. She wasn't always blind. She became blind. So she does have an understanding of what things looked like before she lost her sight. But she lives her life with this disability, with lots of obviously inconveniences and having to be very dependent upon others. But she's surprisingly independent. And she meets this guy who he very much seems like an introvert to me, and he doesn't really like dealing with other people or going out of his way for anybody else, but he can't help but be drawn to her. And it's just like them coming together, and it is very, very awkward, mostly because of him.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, but that's my favorite part. I really like his inner monologue, especially when he's like, oh, I shouldn't say this because that might make her feel awkward. And then, like, her best friend, like, says exactly what he was thinking, and it wasn't awkward at all.
No, he's just too self-conscious about it, or he worries too much about the opinions of others, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is so realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree. I really like his inner monologue because it's just, like, things that I've thought before, right? It's things that you can imagine people saying easily.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, the writing's really good here, and I'm hoping they get a happy ending.
I'd be fine with the unhappy ending, honestly, but
I know you.
I think they'll get a happy ending.
This next show, Please Excuse My Younger Brothers, I think is probably just me. Or
this
are
one
you
is just
it?
You. Yeah.
Yeah. This one is more wholesome than I thought it would be. I was really scared going into it that it was going to have some sort of like creepy stepbrother, stepsister shit. It teased it and then it moved past it. Where the older guy, they're actually the same age. I think they're like separated by maybe a few months or something. They're actually like really close in age, but she's technically the older one. And they're brought together by, obviously, their parents get married and they're the kids from the previous marriages. And it's just like them learning to become a family, a very found family thing. I think it's fun. I love all their personalities. The show is just as lively and colorful as the promo are. And it's just a really feel good show, but I can also see how you would be put off by that.
Yeah, it's just not a subject I care about.
I like it because I come from like, you know, I have a stepdad and the whole like idea of two families coming together and in a good way, you know, and I like seeing it.
Cool. Glad you enjoy it. The next one's probably only me. Rich girl caretaker. I'm secretly the caretaker of the most popular girl in this rich kid's school. The title is so dumb.
God, this sounds ridiculous.
It does sound ridiculous, and it also is ridiculous. And also, I really like it. I've read the manga for this, actually, and it's really cute.
The art style looks cute, but it also looks very fanservice-y.
No, it's not fanservice-y, really. Why does it look fanservice-y?
I don't know, just like the promo art with the girls with their really short, tight uniforms and their poses. It's very suggestive.
Oh, okay. No, it's not. Well, I mean, maybe the picture is, but the show is not very fanservice-y. It's actually, I think it's really cute. The main character, this rich girl, she like has the perfect actor for like, oh, I'm really responsible and on top of things. But then as soon as she's alone, she, like, falls asleep or whatever, and she's really lazy, and she's, like, a total slob. So, yeah, then the main character, he's, like, her paid caretaker. So it's cute, I think.
Good. Are you watching Smoking Behind the Supermarket with you?
Of course. Yes. Are you?
I was on the fence. I thought about dropping it because I wasn't really completely sold on the first episode. But based off of speaking with some others, I gave it another episode and then another episode, and now I'm probably just in for the long haul because I do like the interactions between these two. I really don't like Smoking.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, the vehicle here of bringing these two together and their discussions, I do like.
Yeah. This one, the manga is really quite good.
Oh, so you've read the manga?
Yeah. I was a bit worried because it seems like not enough for a full anime. And I've only watched the first episode so far, but the first episode was really good. So I'm optimistic.
It feels like it's moving pretty slowly, especially in regards to her real identity, right? What is it? Like Yamada and yeah. So I think that they could probably stretch this out for a single core.
Okay.
Even though I've never read the manga. It just feels like it's moving slowly enough and taking time, enough time with their interactions that it shouldn't be a problem.
Okay. Sweet.
The next one is a little bit of a contentious entry, I think. Sparks of Tomorrow.
I dropped this one.
Yeah, I knew it. This one's very much on the fence because I was excited about it based off that this is a KyoAni show.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why the character designs, like, their character designs look like KyoAni characters, and it's very slick a lot of the time. But then I feel like this might be blasphemous to some listeners, but I do have an issue with the inconsistencies in the art styles, because it tries to blend multiple art styles in a storytelling, and I don't think it's working. In fact, it actually repulses me sometimes.
Okay.
And also, like, there's a lot of annoying characters in this show, which makes me so sad, because I wanted to like it, because it's about reimagining if electricity was discovered in, because this is a world where everything is steam-powered, is discovered in Japan. And it's just, the idea is fun, the show is, for the most part, pretty, but then when you get to the characters, they're absolutely obnoxious. There is an insufferable villain character who does not make sense to me whatsoever as a character. Then every now and then they'll, like, blend in these weird art styles that is sort of like the mob characters, like sort of the background setting mob characters into this, like, super weird. It's ugly. I hate it.
It was ugly.
And then it also does this, like, I think the other effect is kind of cool, where it, like, tries to show when everything is black, everything's blacked out, but then it has, like, a little an outline to show the characters themselves. That's fine.
Okay.
I can be okay with that. But yeah, no. Ugh. The show just frustrates the hell out of me because I want to like it. Mm. And I want the characters to, like, grow and develop into people who make sense. But you have this, like, Yosuke character who I want to just kill him off. Just please let him go to war and die, because, like, I don't want him anymore.
Okay. Sounds like I should have not picked this one up. Yeah.
I think you'll just be too angry like I am all the time.
Yeah, I can't do that right now.
That's fine. I'll tell you how it is at the end of the season. I don't expect my feelings to change, but we'll see.
Perfect. Next is Though I Am an Inept Villainess.
I love this show.
I like this show too, yeah. It's one of those, like, Chinese court type things where the main character is the sweet princess, but then there's some mean, nasty girl who nobody likes, who is jealous of her. And then the mean, nasty girl, like, tries to murder her, I think. And then they swap bodies. And now the sweet princess is in jail and everyone hates her because she's in the body of the mean, nasty girl.
It's also important to note that the sweet girl is sickly. Like, she has, like, this chronic illness that she constantly gets fevers. She's very weak. But despite that, she has, like, a very strict regimen, daily regimen of, like, physical and intellectual and, like, artistic, musical endeavors to keep her busy, to keep her active, and to, like, so she can still be productive. It's very admirable, right?
Yeah.
And the villainess is actually really healthy, right? She's, like, strong, healthy, energetic. And so when their souls switch to the other bodies, it's actually hilarious seeing how they're handling it, because suddenly the villain is like, oh, I'm adored, right? Because she's in the poor girl's, the sickly girl's body. Everyone adores her. Everyone believes her at face value. They don't doubt her. The prince dotes on her. But then she's like, how the hell am I supposed to survive this fever that I've had for 5 days, right? And I loved when, like, people kept trying to, like, get her to do things because they knew that's how she was before. They're like, oh, no. Get up. Oh, here is your musical instruments. Oh, here are all these books that you like to read and study. Oh, let's do your exercises. And she's like, what the hell? I'm sick. And so it's been, like, a rude awakening for her versus, like, the sweet girl who ends up in the villainess's body. Like, she gets exiled. Everyone hates her, basically tries to either abandon her or kill her. And she's resilient through it all because now she can be resilient.
Yeah.
And she gets into farming. And it's actually quite funny seeing there are different experiences.
I also like how the villainess came to gloat over her. And then she's, like, giving her advice for how to treat the fever. And she just doesn't listen to her. Yeah.
No wonder she's been in bed sick for 5 days, bedridden, because she doesn't know how to handle it. And she's not trying to.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking forward to this.
Same. I'm having a lot of fun with it. The last one in our good section is Young Ladies Don't Play Fighting Games, which I think might just be me.
I'm watching this.
You are?
Of course I'm watching this.
I just thought you wouldn't like the whole fighting game premise.
Oh, why not?
I don't know, because you don't like fighting in shows, really, because you tend to find battle anime boring.
That's true, I do. But I don't mind if it's a fighting video game. And it's not like Well, we do watch a lot of fighting games, but that's not what it's about. It's about their crazy faces.
And the reactions when you have like these really cute schoolgirls go completely feral as they're fighting one another in Street Fighter.
Yeah, exactly. I will say that I think the manga is better, unfortunately. The art of the manga is much better. They have some like insane faces.
Really?
Yeah, the anime faces don't quite live up to the manga face game.
Maybe I'll have to try it out. This actually reminds me of, do you remember Rock as a Lady's Modesty or something?
Yeah.
It's similar, right? Idea. Where you have like these girls at this all-girls school where you're expected to be ladylike, and they have a lot of these rules. And in this one, it's like you're not supposed to be, no video game, yep, among many other rules. And so they're afraid that they're going to get expelled if they're found out, but they just need to fight each other.
Yeah, and they do some pretty crazy things to get away with it. Like they jump through the window at one point. Yeah.
That one just like baffled me. I was like, what? Really? Now we're going to add school vandalism to the things that you're doing?
Yeah, but I guess at the school, playing video games is worse than breaking the windows. So
I guess so, especially if they never caught you.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I'm having fun with this one.
Same. And that's all for our good shows. Now we have the best of the best.
Starting with Goodbye, Lara, which is a retelling of the Little Mermaid story in a way that really surprised me. Are you watching this?
Yeah, I love this show. But so wait, I only watched the first episode, but didn't the retelling of the Little Mermaid end? And now we're...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's what happened. Like, what happens if the prince rejected her? And then what, everything that occurs after.
Good. Thank you for clarifying that, because it's been so long since I watched The Little Mermaid. I vaguely remember, but only vaguely.
There is, like, I think some of the original tale of it was a little bit more explicit than the Disney version, obviously, as they are. But it was still, like, a happy ending, I think. And this one, it's, like, the opposite of... Like, there are still some details that differed in the retelling. So I think it's still accurate to say that it was a retelling in the first episode. But then from there, it totally diverges to, you know, what happens after when she is denied and true love fails.
Yeah.
Everything goes to shit. And it's just, I really like the art style. It's so unique.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yes. It's beautiful. The colors, the character designs. It's just, I really like it. I even like the villainess, you know, the sea witch.
Yeah, she's good.
One of my favorites of the season. I'm watching it eagerly week by week, but I'm assuming you're going to hold off till the end.
We'll see. I'm not sure.
Well, this next one, I'm pretty sure you're watching. Jadugar, A Witch in Mongolia, or you will watch, right?
I watched the first episode. Yeah, it was great.
Can you believe I was actually on the fence after the first episode?
Really?
I thought it was being, I mean, this is like the thing, right? Because it was like a story before the story, basically, yeah. Right? You see how she ends up in Persia, in this town, like she's a slave. And I just thought it was taking like an overly positive view of slavery. Mm-hmm. So that was my problem with it at the start. But then I was like, oh no, but that's not the whole story. Like this is just one example of a family that ended up taking her in as a slave. Yes, because that was normal back then, apparently. And then basically taking her in as a daughter. And that's like something that she realizes later. Then they go to war, obviously, and this is where the Mongolians come in because they just like sack the city, right?
Yeah.
And that's like the end of the first episode. So I don't think that's that much of a spoiler because it's in the title.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had an issue with how positive it was portraying like this religion and this like whole aspect of slavery. And I'm like, wow, they're like really making this soft. And then I realized like, oh, that's not what they're doing.
Yeah, well, they did have a very different form of slavery in that area than they did in America.
Well, not even just America, in other parts of the world. Like, there's slavery all over the world that is ugly.
Yeah, well, it is definitely a happy portrayal, but it wasn't, like, entirely unrealistic, I think.
Well, I'm now watching it week by week, and you stopped at the first episode, right? So I don't want to spoil it for you, even though these are based on true historical characters.
Is that a cute boy, Genghis Khan?
Which one?
The one who, like, end of episode one was riding his horse and, like, thinking about what to do with the city and asking for scholars.
Oh, I think that was one of the brothers.
Oh, Genghis Khan. Remember,
like,
brother.
They were the Genghis Khan, he had, like, three sons or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was one of the sons, the more, like, war-happy one.
Okay, sweet.
And so we'll meet the other sons. You'll meet more, like you'll recognize a lot of the names if you've read that part of history before. And it's been great. It's so bleak, but so beautiful. And I feel so much for this character. And this is going to be hands down like my favorite show of the season.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, those are also my favorite two shows. But then I added one more that I really liked the first episode. The World is Dancing. Did you like this one?
I'm watching this. I am not in as love with it as a lot of people are. I can see why they like it so much. And there are parts of the show that I enjoy very much, but I also cannot stand the main character.
Right. Okay.
It's fine. I mean, he's a little boy. So like kids are frequently annoying, right?
Yeah, he is annoying. I agree.
And I do like this whole view on dance and like the storytelling and how it's an embodiment of like life, right? The body's ability to move. Mm-hmm. There's a very good story. I don't remember if it's in the first or the second episode. I think they show it at the end of the first episode, like this woman dancing in her hut.
Yeah, that was the first episode.
Yeah. So is that all you've seen is the first
episode? That's all I've seen, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I don't want to say anything more.
But I also watched...
her story is interesting.
I watched the first episode and I was like, this was beautiful. Do we need a second episode? Was there a second episode? So,
no, I liked the first episode too. It was, I think, the second episode and like that woman's story and like how the kid interacted with her that upset me. But then I just like stuck with it and I am enjoying where we are now. But he is definitely like a kid. He's selfish. He's full of himself.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Those are the new shows. We have three ongoing that we're still watching. First is Ascendance of a Bookworm, Adopted Daughter of an Archduke. I think we both kind of hate the show at this point, but we're going for it.
It's like hate watching it, right?
Hate watching, yeah, exactly. Demons of the Shadow Realm, which I'm still enjoying, I think.
Yes, it's too. Fun. I do enjoy this world.
And ReZero Season 4, which I think is on like a break for a month or something, but it's coming back.
Is that what's happening?
I think that's what's happening. I haven't seen an episode in a while. Yeah. It has a weird schedule. I don't know why.
It has so much suffering in it. Like, I'm just like, I'm just there. I just feel so terrible for everybody.
We're back to the good stuff, finally.
Everyone is suffering.
Life is suffering. And that's it. So pretty good season. And I think I'm watching less stuff, maybe. So I'm doing a good job and I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud of you too, Draggle. Good job.
Thank you.
Tune in again to Kaiseki Anime Podcast 2 weeks from now. Please feel free to send us questions or comments on Blue Sky with hashtag Kaiseki Anime Podcast or on our individual accounts at Draggle and at MarineBnB.
Listen to and review us on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts so you can continue to grow and improve. Thanks for listening. See you next time.